Joining me on the line now from County Sligo is Gavin Dykes. Gavin, as listeners across the North West will be glad to hear from you, a former Finn Harps captain, a former Finn Harps manager, but sad news, Gavin, sad news last Thursday at the sad passing of Ollie Horgan. Ollie, Gavin, we know that you're assistant manager to Ollie back in 2022, but your friendship goes way, way back.
No, we were friends for 27 years, Kieran. He was a great character, a great football man. As everybody and no one, you know, the tributes that he's getting will never sum up how much of a genius he was around football. And I seen that at first hand when I had the pleasure of working with him twice. And I suppose, you know, from going up to Fannin and meeting him, first of all, a long, long time ago, we always formed up a great relationship. And he was a guy with an unbelievably good sense of humour as well. You know, he was so unreal. He's the most unmaterialistic man I ever met in my life. It was never about him. And even when I was visiting him over the last couple of weeks in his illness again, he never made it about him. It was always about somebody else. And he was a very special person.
Gavin, as a young boy growing up, you were captain of Finn Harps. I remember the 1999 FAI Cup. You then came on a year or two later. You were the assistant manager and the manager. Around that time, Fannin United was motoring well, to say the least, on Ollie would have been playing, coming in as manager as well. So that competition, the League Cup, would you have came across Ollie when you were playing for Finn Harps?
Yeah, I did. I came across Ollie, indeed I did. And many's the journey we made up to the long way from either Finn Park or from Sligo in particular up to Fannin. And he was always there. He was a huge competitor, both on the pitch and off the pitch. And you know, he was a special guy. He was so well got around the country, you know. But I suppose my point from later on working with him was that he was just ahead of himself tactically, you know, football wise. You know, when people were saying about in the modern game now, number 10s and number 8s and number 6s, Ollie was doing that long before it ever came out. And, you know, playing without a centre forward was a thing that Ollie invented, and something that he said, right, we'll play nobody up front today, we'll maybe two wide right players, something totally, totally different. And you know, it was great credit that he kept Finn Harps when he did take them over. The success he had with them was not just down to luck, it was down to a huge amount of hard work, but also down to the knowledge of looking at the opposition and looking how they played and looking at their weaknesses, looking at their strengths. And you know, he might talk to you 5-6 times a day. That was the way he was, and he was just infectious. He really was.
I'm glad you mentioned the word tactics there, Gavin, because rightly so, great credit over the last number of days, his work ethic, his knowledge of the game. What about Ollie Horgan, the tactician, Gavin? Because you played under a lot of top managers and you managed sides yourself. In terms of tactics, is it fair for me to say he's right up there?
Oh, right up there. If not the best I ever was with. With the resources that he had and you know, the players that he had, he always got the best out of them. You know, I was privileged to be in his house yesterday and I met some of the ex-Finn Harps players that were down there, and they all said the same thing. He made them feel $1,000, $1 million gone out the door. You know, that he sort of motivated them. He got them to play the way he wanted them to play, which at times was, you know, very simple. You know, he this sort of way of playing that, you know, we live off corner kicks and set plays, and we scored a huge amount of goals when I was their assistant manager, and I'm sure Paul Hegarty would say the same from set plays, but they were worked on. It wasn't just that it was practiced and practiced, it was worked on from an opposition's point of view. Not only did he think about what we were going to do, but he would have thought how the opposition would have figured out how we were trying to do something, and he was ahead of his game on that as well. And look, he spent so much time. He was exceptionally bright. You know, he was a maths teacher and a science teacher and a PE teacher, and you know, he could play the pianist as well and the piano and that. And he was one of the brightest men I ever met. But on football terms, he was, like I said, he'd probably never get the credit he deserves. But he was really, really right up there at the top.
As a Finn Harps supporter, Gavin, I couldn't but I couldn't but notice the travelling the man did. Lots of stories about the travelling. And it's well documented at the travelling to meet players and maybe to watch players playing in games, not just in Ireland, but throughout Europe. And what people forget about, he was a school teacher in St. Eunan's while all this was going on. And I'm sure you've seen this at first hand while speaking to him on the phone. He wasn't always in Donegal or Galway.
That was the beauty of it all. You know, when you rang him, you never knew where he was. You know, I could ring him and look, I decided to come over to England, there was a player over here, or I meant to say to you that, oh, I was in Wales, or I could be in Scotland, or he could be in Spain, he could be any place. You know, if I'd have said to him that, you know, there's a player below in Kerry playing in the third division of the league down there, and it was at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, Ollie was there. You know, he made it his business to be and know his wealth of knowledge of football, and both young and old that played in this country, was unbelievable. If he didn't know somebody, within 10 minutes he'd find out where they were, how they were getting on, and what he'd done for underage, you know, football with other schoolboys. If you think of the list of players that played underneath him, and you know, I've seen great testaments to him that players have said, you know, he just went, and totally not about him. You know, there's no ego at all. There never was. He, like I said to you, he'd rock up. I used to slag him and have a chat with him, you know, about training gear and things like that. And he says, Irish, he says, we'll get training gear for the players and that. Whatever's going, I'll take. You know, that sort of, he just was totally, totally different. He was way ahead of himself in certain ways. And like I said, it's great credit to him, you know, and Finn Harps in particular, where he was so well got, and the work that he done there, it's a credit that everybody has come out and said so many nice things about him, because it's all true.
I'm looking forward to this question, Gavin, to see what your answer is. His persuasion skills. I was speaking to Dave Webster a number of years ago, and I think it was his kid's communion. He knocked on his door to have a talk with him. In terms of you being assistant manager, did it take much persuasion, and could you say no to Ollie, or it'd be a hard man to say no to?
Look, the last time I was assistant manager at home was two or three years ago, and he came to the house to me and he said, look, that he needed somebody else in. I told him, to be quite honest, I had no interest. I didn't want to do it. I was out in the game and was enjoying life and didn't want to go back travelling around the stress of the road or anything else. But I heard him say, no, Dolly Horgan. You know, he sort of says, I'll think about it and I'll be back to you. And he was back to you the next day, and then he was coming up and looking, maybe just come for a day, or maybe just come for a couple of days, or give me a hand through pre-season. And he was infectious. He just couldn't say no to him. And, you know, he had this glint in his eye and a smile when he was looking at you. He knew he had you on the hook. And like I said, I enjoyed every minute that I was with him. I was privileged to be in his company, because it was, no matter how bad things were, we always had a laugh between the two of us. And I'm sure Paul Hegarty would say the same thing. You know, the three of us were good friends, and like, we enjoyed the company of Ollie, because we had a laugh about it. Even when he was giving out about referees and the passion that he was showing, you know, we always had a laugh afterwards, and said, look, we move on. And you know, it was a game, but it was more for the game to Ollie, like the love that he had for Donegal people, and the things he'd done off the pitch that nobody will ever realise. You know, for young people, if they weren't well, Ollie would appear at their door with a Finn Harp shirt, and not looking for any publicity of it. That was just him. And speaking to him, he often spoke to me about, you know, St. Eunan's, and I sort of work in education business myself for young people who struggle. And he was, you know, we often had conversations not about football, but about everyday life and the struggles of young people and how to help them. And he was infectious at doing things for people and for families, and just trying to be a nice guy. And it just came natural to him.
One thing strikes me, Gavin, was, yes, he got Finn Harps promoted twice. We'll never forget the BG Bandon night in Ballyfeds, one that I'll never forget. But down in Limerick was another occasion. And Pat McAuliffe, the late, great Pat McAuliffe, sadly no longer with us. He was working for RTE Radio 1 at the time. And he interviewed him, and yet Finn Harps squad with their family celebrating the success. But Pat, let's put it this way, Ollie wasn't exactly being positive towards getting promoted. Surely he gave a lot of belief inside the four walls of the dressing room, and he wouldn't have been, excuse if I use the word negative.
No, look, he played the underdog and he played it to great effect. You know, as I said earlier on, in the dressing room and in with the players themselves, you know, he told them how good they were, and he knew how to get the most out of them, you know, and he managed people really, really well. You know, he sort of looked after them all individually. He knew all their families, he knew all their friends, he knew everybody, he knew everything about every player. And that was a sort of his way of getting the best out of them. Because players, like I said, they loved playing for him. They knew he'd his way of doing things. They knew that training was really important. He liked people to train well, you know. But there was always something special about him that, like I said, he had a glint in his eye. And he got great pleasure to being the underdog and beating the big teams. You know, beating the Shamrock Rovers, beating the Shells, the Derrys, the Bows, you know, he got huge pleasure out of that. And quite interestingly, you know, he used to enjoy going to opposition's grounds, you know, and watching teams. And I know how he always spoke to me. He loved going into the Brandywell because he always had a bit of banter with the locals there. And, you know, and they loved him for that because Ollie would just arrive any place, you know. He was always in Sligo on the shore grounds. And even later in life, you know, he'd ring me and say to me, are we at the match tonight? What did you think? And that sort of way. And that's the way he was. You know, he never switched off. And it's just such a great shame. You know, it's a huge loss to his family, but it's a massive loss to the football in this country because there'll never be another one of them.
Gavin Dykes, before I let you go, putting you in the spot now, I'm sure there's quite a few off the field moments of Ollie Horgan. So maybe there was a phone call in the middle of the night, or maybe you were travelling to see a match. Is there any stories for the listeners of Highland Radio that you can oblige to tell us a Sunday afternoon off the field story of the late great Ollie Horgan?
There's probably a lot I could tell you, but there's a lot I couldn't tell you, I suppose. But I suppose to sum them up, we played in Terryland Park and Galway had beaten us 1-0, and it was a terrible night. And he said to me that he'd give me a lift home because I came down the bus with Finn Harps and he was in Galway at the time. And anybody who knows Ollie, you know, he drove fairly quickly, to put it under to put it lightly. But we got into the car and he said to me, he says, look, I said, I have a problem with the car. He said, the gears aren't working on it right. So he says, you might have to give me a hand, hold it in gear. So Ollie was driving the car, I was holding the gear. Unfortunately, the window, the wipers went, and it started raining heavily. The wipers went. We stopped, we pulled in. Ollie went into the boot and took out a sock, a football sock, and tied the wiper with a sock. And between driving, me holding the gear, him working the wipers, and all we done was laugh the whole way home. And that was Ollie. That was it. It didn't matter. He always found a way of getting things, and even found a way of getting home that night. So that was something, Kieran, that I laughed about.